Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here today, and it's good to see you. It's good to be with you. And it looks like we're going to have a beautiful day and hearing maybe sunny this week, so we praise God for the weather as well. It is the first Sunday of the month and the first day of the month, and so we have see some birthday treats back there. I believe Maxine made those. Thank you so much. And do we have anyone that's having a birthday this month? Okay, got Brad back there and Maxine. She made herself her own cupcake.
They are snickerdoodle cupcakes and strawberry.
Snickerdoodle and strawberry. Sounds good. All right. So why don't we sing happy birthday? I'm sure there's others as well that we want to keep in our thoughts and prayers. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Announcements. Yes.
Newsletters are in your mailboxes or in your email, and those are getting email through the email. The printing is a little off. I had a problem. I lost some files. So I had to go back and take the hard copy and scan each page and create a new copy. So the printing is not as good. So I've had a lot of technical problems this week.
Thank you for your efforts for our behalf. Yes.
I just want to announce that we have three graduates that we are going to be presenting a little something with. We don't have the bags back there. We're debating on what Sunday. I have to get with the three to find out what Sunday, but it'll probably be towards the end of June, but we're going to put bags back there. One will be for Austin Smith, Jeff's son. He will be graduating from
Salisbury State University.
Nathan, his last name just went at
Sanders.
Sanders. It just went out of my head. He will be graduating from West Virginia.
Fairmont
University. And the third one is Ethan, right? So we have three guys this time. So we'll be putting the bags back there. So be thinking about getting a card for them, give them some encouragement for the next phase that they embark on.
Great. Thank you so much. Also, we want to keep in mind next Sunday is our bread and cup communion. Pastor Sam will be sharing with that, and the deacons will have the bread and the cup for us. That's next Sunday. Any other announcements? Okay. Let's begin our worship. Jerry?
Thank you.
Call to worship comes from Psalms 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Let us pray together. Father God, we do thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. And we thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what he has done in our behalf. And Lord, we gather together in his name. We ask your Holy Spirit would come and move mightily in our worship, Lord. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask that you would bless and move mightily in this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and share in song number 148? May be seated. I did want to mention that we are anticipating upcoming baptism, and so anyone that's interested in that can talk with me. I'd be glad to meet with anyone after services Sundays that I'm here, and probably we're looking at maybe a date in July, and of course over at the Bridge outdoor baptism. And so if you know of someone that's interested, please let me know. We have a couple of folks that I think we're going to have that day, so we're looking forward to it, and we'll pinpoint a date as soon as we can. The call to stewardship comes from 1 John 3. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need,
but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? We have been blessed with many things living in this country. We've been blessed by God to have a good income and places to live. And so God calls us to share. And we want to ask God's blessing on the gifts that have been shared here through the box and our offerings this month. And we just ask God to give us wisdom to use those correctly. So let's pray. Father God, we are grateful. Grateful for the way that you provide for us. Grateful for the way that you move in our midst, in the church and in the kingdom of God, Lord. And so we ask that you would continue to move mightily in those who have given. We ask your blessings upon the gifts, that they would be multiplied and used wisely. We pray for our leaders, Lord, that they would use those gifts in a way that would not only pay the bills, but also that it would be a glorifying to you. So help others to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, not just here, but around the world. And we ask that you would utilize and multiply. And we thank you for your blessing. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Sharing of joys and concerns. What a joy that you might have, or prayer request. Deb?
Well, a joy we had last Sunday, Ralph and I went to Colton, the family's church, and Colton was baptized.
Oh.
And just to hear his, each one that was going to be baptized gave their
testimony.
And it was just a joyful time.
Great. Praise God. Mm.
Now, I do have some. Wanda called me this morning. She was planning on being here, but she has really been having a time of it with her hip. So she didn't get much rest last night. So let's just pray for comfort for Wanda until she has her surgery in July. She wanted me to announce that her brother Harold's wife, Connie, passed away on Thursday. So please keep the Harold Stover family in your prayers. And then, of course, Rick, you know, had some struggles, but we can see the Lord's hand upon him working with the doctors, so we just continue to lift him up for healing. And for Deb and Darlene and those that are traveling, you know, take him here and there for safe travels and, you know.
Yes.
And Ralph, he's wore out.
Okay.
But he's fine, but he's just wore out.
Okay. Yes, Nancy? Okay. We have. Go ahead, Frank.
My wife, in her prayer, she's been suffering with quite a bit of pain in her legs and down her hips and so forth, and also because of her dementia. And also, I have several people that are my classmates and etc. Donnie Valentine, Nancy Ripple. Many of us that are here in our congregation are having medical issues, problems, situations. Pray that the Lord will keep them all in their prayers.
Thank you.
I was also asked last night to put Coy Chaney on the prayer list.
Coy?
Coy Chaney. I'm not sure of all the details, but my niece Lisa asked to put him in prayers. The Lord knows what.
Okay. Thank you. Sure.
I'd like to keep my co-worker, Sarah. She was to deliver her first child this week, and they had to take her to the hospital this past week, and the baby was dead. This was her first, and they're very strong in their faith, and it's getting them through, but they still need prayers. So
hard thing
Sarah
to go through.
And Jake.
The
Tokar family. I also like to keep my kids in prayer list as they still mourn their mother's death. And I have a lot of unspoken requests.
Thank you. All right. There's a joy in our district today. Our sister congregation, Grossnickel Church of the Brethren, is celebrating a new pastor. Kenley Simmer is there, coming from Bethany, and is going to be serving at Grossnickel. So they're having a dedication this morning and a luncheon, and so we praise God for Grossnickel.
That's a joy, too. Our church across the street is celebrating today their 150th anniversary.
150th today, yeah. They're celebrating. Wonderful. Mount Tabor. All right. Let's pray. As we come to the Lord, we invite you to either kneel or bow your head and close your eyes. Let us just take a moment to give the Lord what's on our heart today. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come before your throne of grace today in a world that is in such a hurry and so much noise. We just take time to pause in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you hear. We thank you, Lord, that you move. You answer. We share, Lord, with one another those things that are on our hearts, and you have heard our prayer requests. We give you thanks, Lord, for new life through baptism. We pray for those who are sick and couldn't be with us today. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving loss of life. We pray, Lord, that you would bless churches as they celebrate leadership and history and heritage. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the world today. We pray for leaders, Lord. We pray for pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers, for those that serve in various capacities behind the scenes and up front. Lord, would you strengthen your church today? We think of your people around the world and those who are experiencing war and famine. So many things going on in our world today, from natural disasters and floods and tornadoes, and Lord, it must be a hard thing to go through. Much bloodshed. So we pray for peace, Lord. We pray that you would move on the hearts of leaders and the decisions that they make. Surround them with wise counsel. We pray, Prince of Peace, would you come? Establish your kingdom on the earth. Lord, we pray that the word would continue to go forth, because we know that won't come back void. And so bless those that are on the front lines, missionaries and those who have gone to teach. Open up doors of opportunity, Lord. Help them share the good news with those that need to hear yet. We pray, Lord, you would continue to move in your church as we support one another. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. We pray, Lord, that you would meet the needs of those who have been mentioned by name today. Let your will be done. Teach us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Scripture for today comes from John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved me. Father, I want those who have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, through the world, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, I missed a hymn. Okay. Let's see. We're doing number two. Let's do number two. And then we'll go to the sermon.
Please stand if you're able.
Seated. I don't know how I skipped that one. It's one of my favorites. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we pause in your presence again to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our lives would be acceptable in your sight. for you are our strength and our Redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that today is Say Something Nice Day? Say something nice. So I encourage you to say something nice today to someone. I don't know about you, but I kind of like a little bit of trivia. And so since this is the first day of June, I thought I'd give you a little bit of trivia to start off with. Did you know that today is Andy Griffin's birthday? He was born in 1926. And Pat Boone was born in 1934. Some names that you might recognize. Also, I believe it's Donald Trump's birthday. The president's birthday is this month. Month of June has lots of interesting things that take place in it. Birthstones include pearl as the main one, but alexandrite and moonstone also are birthstones. My mother's middle name was June. She was born June 29th. She was the 11th child, the last baby of their family. I think probably my grandparents were probably running out of names, so it's like, oh, she's born in June, we'll take June. The flowers for June are rose and honeysuckle. And June is named for the Roman goddess Juno. She was the wife of Juniper, and she was the goddess of marriage and childbirth. And so, as you know, the month of June, there's lots of weddings that take place in June still. June is also known for the month of fishing. In the United States, we have a couple of important holidays that take place. Flag Day on the 14th. Father's Day is going to be on the 15th this year. And the noon holiday, Juneteenth, on the 19th. Kentucky became a state today in 1792, a 15th state. As well as Tennessee became the 16th state in 1792. The summer solstice happens in June and is the longest day of the year. And there is a full moon in June known as the strawberry moon, probably because strawberries are ripe about now. The Farmer's Almanac says that the weather folklore for June is, if June be sunny, harvest comes early. June be damp and warm, does the farmer no harm. Well, we had a chance to get away a little bit. Then last week we went to visit our son in Tennessee, and the weather was cool and rainy, which was quite different from the last time we were down. We were a little bit later in June, and it was really hot. So this time was kind of nice, made traveling nice as well. As always, and as you know, it's always good to see family and friends and spend a little time together. And so we were reminded again of the importance of family. When I got home, I had a card waiting for me, and so I thought I might share this today from Emily Mumo. Emily, there's a picture of here. She's 90 couple years old now, but Emily was a moderator of an annual conference 1 year, and we had gotten to know her years ago through BVS, and she even came to our wedding. And so we've been in touch over the years, and so I thought, well, you know, I don't have a mother this year, so I sent her a Mother's Day card. And she wrote these words in response. She said, I always appreciate your keeping in touch with cards, letters, and notes. They mean so much to me. As I age, especially, and so many of my older 90s friends pass on, my younger friends, like you, are more and more special to me. Blessings of love and joy, Emily. And so isn't that true, so true for us that, you know, friends and family really mean a lot to us, and keeping in touch is important. Well, the gospel reading for today is Jesus' prayer of John 17. And this is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And so I wanted to share a little bit today about that. In verses, we only read the last portion of chapter 17, but if you look at the beginning part, verses 1 through 5, Jesus prays for himself. And then in verses 6 through 19, Jesus prays for his disciples. And then in verses 20 to 26, Jesus prays for all believers, for you and for me. Charles Stanley wrote, Jesus began his prayers for us way back in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. We have trusted in Jesus through the word of the apostles, and this prayer of his is therefore for us. Think about that for a moment. Jesus prayed for you. And so I'd like for us to think about Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed for you and me. Scripture says that he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So I don't know about you, but I think there's a little bit of comfort, and it is a great assurance to know that our Lord and Savior prayed for me, prayed for you. He was thinking of us and praying for us as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested and went to the cross and suffered. In his most difficult hour, his mind was on his disciples and on those who would believe. How helpful, how comforting to know that someone's praying for you. We experienced that again as we heard people sharing, you know, we're going to be praying, have a safe trip, have a good trip, you know. Glad you got back, that kind of thing. We're always encouraged when we hear that people are praying for us. In fact, I don't know of anyone who really would refuse. I think few people would refuse if you offered prayer. If you said, can I pray for you? I don't think many people would say no. They would say, yeah, sure, and what can I pray about? And they often tell you. And so people are very appreciative of prayer. Especially when you're going through a hard time, you may feel like there's very little that you can do, except prayer is a very powerful thing that you can do. It is probably the most helpful thing that you can do. It is probably the most appreciated thing that you can do. Our intercessions on their behalf make a world of difference in the spiritual realm. And it's a tremendous comfort to know that our Lord prayed for us. I do not pray for these alone, he said, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, in some of the ancient transcripts, the word will is not there. It is omitted. And so we might read that scripture as, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. I don't think that changes it too much. But all those who would believe in those that have shared the good news, have come to know Jesus through their word, Jesus prayed for. And so we have an intercessor. We have one who is for us. He loves us. He was willing to die for us. And so on this weekend after Memorial Day, it's important to remember that Jesus gave his life for us. He died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus' prayer here, he prays for his disciples. He prays for us. He prays for all who would come to believe through their word. And so Christ's intercessory role is that of the priesthood, is clearly seen in the scriptures. In the book of Hebrews, we find these definitions of the high priest. We have a high priest who is divinely appointed, eternal, merciful and faithful, human and divine, sympathetic, in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He was sinless. He is exalted. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And we're told in 1 John that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Lord has gone into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. In Isaiah, the prophet said, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The writer of the book of Hebrews concurs. He says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And also the Apostle Paul, I think, was impressed with Christ's prayers. He asked the Romans, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, he is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, we usually think of intercession as the role of the Holy Spirit, and that is one of his main jobs. But Paul wrote here in this same chapter, he said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know that what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for you, for us with groaning and which cannot be uttered." And so we have a double blessing. We have Christ praying for us, and we have the indwelling Spirit's groaning on our behalf. Jesus prayed that the Comforter would be sent, and he was. We're told the disciples, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever." And so we have the Holy Spirit's help, and we have Christ's prayer on our behalf. Isn't that a blessing? A blessing to know that Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us right now. The Holy Spirit lives within us and is groaning on things that is too deep to put into words. Maybe we're not able to say it publicly. We're not able to maybe share it in public or in congregation, but the Spirit knows those things that are yearnings within us. And we also know that even when we're going through a hard situation or a temptation, they're praying for us. Christ once told Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, and he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail, and when you return to me, strengthen your brethren." And so if you feel weak in your faith, know that Christ has prayed for you. He's prayed for us. He prays for his enemies too. The very ones that were crucifying him that day. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. One of the most significant prayers that we have from the lips of Jesus is found here in John 17, the special prayer for his disciples and for his church, for you and for me. He said, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus' prayer here for his disciples include five really wonderful petitions for his disciples. Henry Morris says that they are security, victory, sanctification, glorification, and unity. Security. We have security in our salvation. God is holy. He is a divine keeper. And God's protection for us is sure. We are secure. We can bank on it. Victory over Satan's temptations. Jesus prayed that we would not be taken out of the world, but that we would be kept from the evil. And so we can be victorious there, even as we are separated from the evil, in the world, but not of it. Sanctification through the Word. Sanctification is that process by which the world, service to the world, and that we accomplish God's truth. We know that God's Word is true, and that the washing of the water is by the Word, Ephesians 5:26. We have ultimate glorification in God, in seeing his glory. We will see the King in his beauty. We shall behold the land that is far off. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we also have unity. Unity with God and with each other. You know, this is the purpose that the world might see and believe that God sent Jesus. This is Jesus' request five times in this scripture, in verses 11, 21, 23. There is a prayer here for unity that can only take place in the Spirit and by faith. We should recognize that Jesus' prayer here, God always desires to answer, right? And especially if Jesus is praying, wouldn't you want to give your son what he's asked for? So God has answered Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer has been answered already, has been fulfilled spiritually. So I wanted the time that we have together to focus a little bit on the concept of oneness. Oneness is so important here in Jesus' prayer. Recently, we met with Marie Brown, the missionary to the Far East, and she gave us a copy of her new book, That They All May Be One, the Unity Imperative. And I've been reading that this week, and really an interesting book, really great, kind of summarizes her ministry over 40 years. And, you know, if you remember, Marie was with us here on Easter in 2017, and as I look back, it was the scripture that she used, John 17. And so it's been her message all along, getting us to focus on oneness. Oneness, according to Webster, is a wholeness or the quality of being one or of being made one. And the Greek word is heis. Heis refers to the number one or implies the idea of abundantly. And so if you look in your Bibles, you'll find the word one many times. Hundreds of times the word one is used in the scriptures. But there's only three places that use the word unity. And they are very interesting. Webster defines unity as full agreement, the state of being one or of being made one. And the Greek word here is henos, talking about oneness. The word unity in the Old Testament is found one time, and it's in Psalms 133, verse 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, I think of times, when have you felt that really sense of unity? For me, there's been a couple of times early on at Camp Ader when we were living together in a unit. We lived in Unit 6 at Camp Ader in Fairfield. And we had to cook some of our meals out on the open fire. And so we had to work together. We were hungry and we had to work together to get something to eat. We had lived together, had campfires together. God brought that wonderful conclusion to the week of sharing together that we had such a good time we didn't want to go home. And I also think about my BVS unit. In the fall of 1979, we had orientation at New Windsor. 30 people came together from all parts of the world. We were so different. The diversity was so unique. And yet, at the time that we were ready to leave and go to our assignments, we cried with each other as we left. The other two times that this word unity is used in the scriptures is in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:3 and Ephesians 4:13. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. These are the goals that Paul writes that we should have. The world, I think, likes to focus on unification, on conformity, that we all have to be similar. But God seems to prefer oneness. The diversity that there is, and yet we are one. Think of the oneness of a husband and a wife. The two shall become one flesh. Paul says it's a great mystery. But this analogy of marriage, how two people become one, is an image of Christ in the church. Now, probably nobody else knows you any better than your spouse. And yet somehow the two become one. It is that sense of oneness that Christ is praying for. As he was one with the Father, so he wanted us to be one with him. I wanted to share a couple of quotes from Marie's book. This is her take on oneness. She says, it's imperative then that we be one. To have a clear picture of God's original plan for humanity, in creation established by the nature of the Godhead, to understand, how God's plan was disrupted by the fall and how humanity became controlled by Satan, to have a fresh revelation of the full redemptive restoration of the work of Christ on the cross, and to see in the New Testament the birth and the growth of God's powerful body, the church walking in restored oneness through the Holy Spirit. Now, we want revival, right? We would like to see this church full, right? And yet, God's not going to do that until there is a oneness. There needs to be a oneness among us. God will not give a nation to one denomination, she says, but he will give a nation to his church. And so she's working in various countries, pulling the leaders, the pastors together, the leaders in that nation, to have a strategic, united effect and outreach together. We need to ask ourselves, she says, am I willing to be obedient and walk out God's plan? Am I willing to change where I need to change to align with him? Biblical oneness is the very image of God, and we reflect Jesus Christ to our world when we are in one accord with each other. This oneness is possible because Jesus has provided the way, and it's through the cross. Unity does not mean the absence of differences. Instead, it means that we choose to walk together even when we differ. Genuine unity says, my love for you in Christ is greater than our differences. This journey is not easy. It can be very difficult. How can we retain our chosen doctrinal beliefs and still walk in agreement with Christians who believe differently from us? It is possible when we think about essentials, convictions, and preferences, like on a target. Now, you know, target is one of those big round things, you know, it has different circles and then the center. What is the most important thing about a target when you're throwing darts or if you're shooting arrows? What do you focus on?
Center.
The center, the bullseye, right? Yes, and so the bullseye is the essentials in Christianity, God's absolutes, the core truths of Christianity. Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, rose again. These are the central truths, that he is Lord. Convictions are beliefs or opinions based on how we interpret Scripture, the day of worship, how we baptize, how the Holy Spirit works in our world today. Women in ministry, dress, all of these kinds of things are convictions. And then there's preferences, our personal choices, things that we're partial to, our favorites, how we feel and what we like. She says we cannot allow our convictions and preferences to become the essentials. We have to focus on the bullseye. This spiritual unity does not mean that all of us are alike, nor does it mean that we have to hold the same opinion about everything. Biblical unity is a revelation of our oneness in Christ and in turn with one another. Jesus prayed this prayer partly for three reasons: so that we would be like him through our oneness of love, so that his glory would be displayed in power to the world, and so that we could be of one mind, one heart, and have one goal to reach the world. She asks, could it be that the world does not believe God sent Jesus because we, the church, have lost our credibility through our disunity and lack of love? In the book of Acts, we see throughout the New Testament that the apostles proclaimed Christ. They were eyewitnesses. They heard Christ. They saw him. They were eyewitnesses to the gospel. And God changed their hearts, and they changed lives through the Holy Spirit's power. God's presence challenged the divisions between the races and the prejudice between men and women. And in that day and culture, they maintained all of those biases, as we, I think, still do today. God was steadily at work in the New Testament, turning the world upright, making it right from an upside-down world. And I think the same is true for our day and our culture. Revival and evangelism are fruits of oneness. It is the proof of our love for God, is our love for each other. We say that we love God, and so we prove that by loving one another. Pastor Sam once said recently that you can tell a lot about a person by how they pray. And so what does Jesus' high priestly prayer say to you? Jesus prayed this prayer. He prayed for us. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for you and for me. And he prayed for oneness. Just as the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are one, we think of the Trinity. The Trinity is an interesting thing, hard to describe, but they are one. In the Old Testament, we often see the Father, especially in creation and throughout the early scriptures. We see the Father. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and descends on a person, but mostly we see the Father in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see in the Gospels, we see Christ the Son. And then in the latter part of the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit working, all working together as one, three in one. Jesus prayed for that oneness, and that oneness, the same kind of oneness that they have, Jesus wants us to have. It's interesting, this great prayer from the greatest person who ever prayed, wouldn't you say? Surely God desires to answer that prayer and has answered that prayer spiritually. It was a prayer for oneness. I wonder if we could enter into that prayer. What would the body of Christ look like today if we had more oneness? Wouldn't it be interesting to see what the world would do with that? Wouldn't the lost want to be saved? Wouldn't they want to be a part of what's going on when they see a church in love with one another and reaching out in one purpose and one mission? We see discord. We see denominational disputes. We see division. Doesn't revival tarry because of our separation and lack of unity? What could you do to seek more oneness in your family, in our congregation, in our community, more oneness in our country, more oneness in the world? I believe God will ultimately answer Jesus' prayer and is soon bringing about the answer to that prayer when he shall reign and we shall be one with him. What a glorious time that will be, the millennial reign of Christ, that they all may be one, one under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God sees all believers as one in him, and so we must begin to see ourselves and each other as God sees us, that we are one. What affects one affects the other. We need to move forward. How can we move forward? Marie suggests these four things. Be willing to change. See the big picture, not just what's happening in your own little congregation, but what God is doing in the whole and around the world. To be humble, to repent of our egos, wanting to do things my way. Be flexible, be humble, be a servant like Jesus. Jesus' servant leadership is a model for all of us. And to choose oneness, to choose unity versus uniformity or conformity, that they all may be one. The unity imperative, oneness. We want to praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that he prayed for us. Praise God for the oneness of the Trinity. Amazing mystery, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. And praise God for the oneness that we have, that we may all be one. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Righteous Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, and our risen Savior, and we thank you for the plan that you have for humanity. May your will be done. May your glory be seen in our world today. Help us as the body of Christ, help us as the church to be one so that the world will believe. Lord, forgive us for missing the mark, for not hitting the bullseye, for focusing on convictions and preferences and not the essentials. I pray, Lord, that you give us a revelation of the redemptive act that you did through your Son on the cross. Help us to see that more than just a piece of jewelry, but that cruel cross of crucifixion, of punishment, capital punishment, Lord. Help us to see that symbol and to see it in a bigger picture of what you will do in the days to come. May we walk in unity. May we live in oneness. And may we love one another as Jesus loved us. Help us to share the truth of that oneness and unity. We pray in Jesus' name that we all may be one. Amen. Please join me in standing as we share our closing hymn, number 323. God bless you. May we be one. May the Lord give you His grace, His mercy, His peace. May you go in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.